We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. This is Scott, going to be taking you through this special episode number 88. We have another trade deadline episode that's going to be basically going back through the prospects. If you haven't checked out last week, I had an opportunity to talk with Scott Kornberg, who is the play-by-play guy for the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, and was able to give us some really good information on Gleyber Torres, basically tell us about him as a player, as a person, and kind of what we can expect for this guy coming forward. This week, I got a chance to talk to, we reached out to some of the guys that saw, you know, these prospects play every day in from the trades of the Beltran and Andrew Miller. So we got on this week the AA general manager for the Akron Rubber Ducks, the Cleveland organization for the prospects that were came over in the Andrew Miller deal. His name is Jim Fander. Jim saw all these guys play. You know, Clint Frazier played in AA for most of the season. And then, obviously, the J.P. Feierheisen and Ben Heller played there as well. Both guys he is very high on as far as pitching. And then Clint Frazier. I mean, he couldn't say enough good things about this guy. So definitely check that out. That's going to be the first interview coming up. And then the second interview is with the single A affiliate of the Texas Rangers, director of their media relations and their play-by-play guy, Aaron Cox, who's going to give us all the information on Dylan Tate and Eric Swanson. Those are the two guys that played at this at the affiliate there. And obviously, we know about what we got for Beltran. Dylan Tate was the big chip. He was the number four draft pick in the 2015 draft. And this is a guy who's, you know, I wouldn't call it a fall from grace, but he's definitely had some struggles over the past 3 months that has taken his prospect status down a notch. And I think that's why the Yankees were able to kind of swoop in and get a guy like that, because, you know, a year ago, there's no chance they would have had an opportunity at Dylan Tate for a two-month, 40-year-old rental. It's crazy. So definitely check these out. They're going to go back-to-back. First one is going to be Jim Fander, the GM of the Rubber Ducks, and then number two is going to be Aaron Cox, who's the play-by-play guy down in Hickory, the Hickory Crawdads. So definitely check that out, and we will be coming back next week with our normal show on Monday morning. Hit us up on Twitter. You can follow me at Scott Reinen. You can follow Andrew at Yankees_talk. You can follow the website at Bronx Pinstripes, and then our new Twitter for the Bronx Pinstripe Show is at Yankees Podcast. There's all the plugs. Enjoy the interviews and get pumped up about these prospects. They're going to be good. I love the struggle when the pain's gone. I'm still stepping in the puddles, but the rain's gone. Now I'm breaking out the routine with chains on, staring at the sun without shades on. Look where I came. All right, I have Jim Fander, who is the GM of the Akron Rubber Ducks, who obviously has some very good information for us about some of the guys that we just got in the Andrew Miller trade. Jim, thanks so much for coming on and taking some time to give us the lowdown on these guys.
I appreciate it, Scott. Thanks so much for having me on.
Sure thing. So obviously, you know, the Yankees fans and the Yankees have been very excited because of the package that was gotten back for Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller was, one of the most popular Yankees, a very selfless guy, a guy that's going to go out and pitch anytime the Indians want him to, and probably going to put them over the edge as to be one of the favorites to contend this year. So I know the Indians got a great guy in Andrew Miller that will help them this year and next year. But the Yankees, talking about the prospects, the guys that you've seen in AA, were extremely excited about it. Obviously, the Clint Frazier being the number one guy, and then the two the guys that you've seen in AA being J.P. Feierheisen and Ben Heller. So, well, I guess we can start with Frazier. You know, what's some of the things that I guess we don't know or haven't heard about this guy?
Well, you know, Clint's special. I mean, you know, obviously being a number one pick, he's the guy that really everyone had their eyes on, you know, since the beginning of the season. I know, especially in Akron, this is the first year that I've had a chance to see him, play. And, you know, he's just a guy that, you know, everything looks effortless with him. The ball sounds different when he hits it. He's a guy that just 100% cares about baseball. He plays the game hard every time he gets out there, and he's a fun guy to watch. So, he's one of those guys that, you know, I'm sure from the Indian side they hated to part with, but, you know, I'm sure he was the centerpiece of his deal. And I think he's going to have a bright future, it looks like now in the Bronx.
Yeah, and they put him directly into Scranton AAA, so he's one step away and very possibly going to be, in line for a September call-up. So he may get that look sooner than he thinks, especially with the way things are going in the Bronx and the way that they're really trying to get their younger players some time. You know, one of the big things about Frazier is obviously he's got the Brian Cashman quoted as legendary bat speed. I mean, I'm seeing pictures of this guy and the forearms look like my legs. So I can only imagine, how fast that bat's coming through the zone. And I know with, having strong hands, strong wrists, that helps you spray the ball around the ballpark. And that really fits in today's baseball and how guys are being successful today.
It really does. And Clint is a physical specimen. There's no question about it. I think what he looked like when the Indians drafted him, now 4 or 5 years ago, to what he looks like today is completely, he has really taken physical fitness to a new level. He really cares about his craft. And, he was a member of the All-Star team, and I was lucky enough to have him represent the Akron franchise. We hosted the All-Star game this year, and when you see him compared to the other guys out there, I mean, he even in an All-Star game, he kind of sets himself apart a little bit too. So he's a guy who hustles after every ball hits him in the outfield. He makes unbelievable diving catches in the gap, makes him look routine. I mean, sometimes when he dives, it looks like he floats through the air. So. He's going to be a great player for a long time. The one thing that everybody forgets about him is he's very young. He's going to turn 21 after the season. He's a guy that, a lot of people, in the Indians organization, it was always Zimmer and Bradley, Bradley Zimmer and Clint Frazier, and they're pretty much always mentioned together. They were promoted at the same time. They were promoted to AAA at the same time. And, Zimmer's a college guy. He's about 3 or 4 years older than Frazier, and you forget about that because it looks like Frazier's the whole time he's keeping up with the guys like Zimmer, a guy that was drafted a year ahead of him, and he's really one of those guys that you forget how young that he actually is. So again, I think the future's bright with him. He's all about baseball. He's all about hitting, and like you said, he hits with power to all the fields, and he's a fun guy to watch play.
One of the knocks one of the only knocks that I've heard about Frazier was his defense. You're talking about these flying these great plays he's making in the outfield. Is he not making all of the routine plays, or I've heard he's projected more of a corner, and I think the Yankees actually put him in left field rather than center field. And in the Bronx, I mean, he should be able to handle left or right field with no issue. But do you see him more slotted as a corner outfielder?
You know what? I haven't seen it. I think he's a guy that plays very good defense. In fact, he played all three positions for us. And for a majority of the time, he was just starting in center field. Now, this is Double-A. I mean, obviously, it's not the major leagues, but I thought he played all three positions very well. He's got a plus arm, and he's a guy that goes after everything that's hit at him. So, I mean, maybe that's just being 20, 21 years old and sure. In Double-A baseball and trying to prove himself. But, again, he just – everything he does looks effortless. And I just think the Yankees really got – he was the centerpiece of the deal, so I don't think anyone's surprised at it. But I think he's a guy that that's going to get there. Is he ready for Major League Baseball right now? That's pretty much beyond my scope of what to say. But I think he's a guy that's going to be very good for a long time when he gets to the big league level.
That's great. I love hearing that he's one of those baseball junkie guys and just baseball all day. That's his life. That's good to hear because you have some of these guys with talent that sometimes take it for granted, and it doesn't seem like he does that at all. It sounds like he's a gym rat, and if you're saying that he loves baseball and is a baseball kid, then that makes me very happy because that means he's going to have the drive for many years to come. And he seems very coachable too. I mean, if you look at the stats, just from us looking at him, on the outside looking in, he's cut his strikeouts every single year down quite a bit, and he really looks like he's growing and maturing as a hitter as well. The pitch selection looks better, he's making better contact, and it just seems like he's progressing in all the right directions offensively.
Yeah, it seems like that as well. I noticed that too, and he's a guy who just cares about playing baseball. And you know, and remember, he's just so young. And I think, you know, he's had a lot of great coaches in the Indians organization. I know the Yankees have a lot of great coaches and instructors. And so I think he's a guy that's going to fit right in. And honestly, I think probably the biggest change for Clint's going to be cutting those long walks that he has. So and fitting in with the Yankee way. I mean, that's probably going to be the biggest challenge for a guy that's been able to kind of do things on his own. And again, that's from a standpoint of always being the best player at every level. You know, now he's going to have to really kind of conform, but I think that's going to be good for him. Part of that maturation process. And I think he's just going to, I think Yankee fans are going to be very excited when they have a chance to see Clint Frazier play.
And it seems like he's already on his way, because he's been tweeting out pictures of him sitting in the barber chair, getting those beautiful red locks taken off to you know, make sure that he's following the rules per se for the Bronx. So that's good. Now he seems like he's embracing it, which is great. All right, good deal. It sounds like we're getting an awesome player. I'm pumped up about him. Let's talk a little bit more about the other two guys that have spent some time in Double A, and that's the two pitchers. You know, Justice Sheffield obviously is a high single A guy, so we know maybe we could touch on him at the very end, but I know you haven't seen him. Ben Heller and J.P. Feierheisen. Is that right? Feierheisen? Is that Feierheisen?
Feierheisen.
Okay.
Fire and Risen. Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
But both of those pitchers, I think, are very good. Now, Ben Heller spent maybe the first month and a half of the season with us.
Yep.
I feel like he's on the fast track to the majors. I think the Indians were very high on him and probably someone they were sad to see go. I think of all the four players you got, I think Ben Heller's probably the most major league ready right now. I think the plans for the Indians seems like he was going to be a guy that was going to come out of the bullpen and would be able to contribute right away. But he's a guy that has electric stuff. He's a guy that that works hard every day, and he's a guy that loves to get out in the community. I know we had a number of community appearances early in the season, and he's a guy that he was the first to volunteer to sign up to go and to talk to the Boys and Girls Club and to really be a part of it. So, you know, not only do you get a great baseball player in Ben Heller, but you also got a guy who gets it. And I think that's really important. You kind of mentioned that before. You want good guys. You want guys that, you know, yes, they can play baseball and that's great, but you want guys that really understand what it means to be a professional baseball player and what it means to be a role model. And I think you definitely got that in Heller and Feierheisen as well.
Beautiful. And Heller seems like he's a big guy, right? Has a very plus fastball, high 90s. Everything that I'm reading says he can touch triple digits when he wants to. And, you know, so besides the fastball, I've read things about a plus slider. Is that basically his 1-2 in the bullpen, his fastball slider?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be he throws hard and he's a guy, you know, it's funny because I liken him, you know, with the pitchers the Indians have had come through. You know, Cody Allen was very much the same way when he came through our system. This is back in 2011, but, you know, he didn't spend a long time in Double A. And he reminds me of Cody Allen. He's got a real good fastball. He's got a real good second pitch. It is a breaking ball. If it's a slider, if it's a little bit of a slurve, but he's a guy that can pretty much contribute right away. And he's been fun to watch. So, you know, again, from the Indians' side, I think they definitely gave up a hidden gem in Ben Heller.
Yeah, I've read that a number of times, and you know, you're really just supporting that theory, is that he's the guy that could really tip the scale on this trade is the Ben Heller addition. So good to know. So J.P. Feierheisen is down in Double A now. They put him in Trenton in the Yankee system. But this is another guy. Both of these guys have very good strikeout to inning ratios. You know, J.P. looks like at 56 at 40 innings. That's pretty impressive for a guy that throws, I don't know, mid to low 90s. Seems like a guy that has the ability to miss bats.
No, you know, they both do, actually. So Heller was our closer to start the year. JP filled in as soon as Heller got promoted to AAA. And then, you know, obviously now with both of them leaving, you know, they're back-end guys. Feierheisen was an all-star with us this year. I'm sure Heller, had he spent enough time in AA, would have qualified for the all-star team as well. You know, both of these guys have electric stuff. Both of these guys know how to pitch in the back end of games and know how to get guys out. And, you know, JP's comes from a great family. I know his family's been to Akron 4 or 5 times already this year. It is kind of like that baseball pedigree family too. I mean, they understand, you know, what he needs to do and how he works as hard as he does. Both of these guys have got, you know, plus stuff. And again, you know, I think everybody talks about Andrew Miller going to the Indians, but I think I'm very much intrigued to see what these four guys are going to do for the Yankees for years to come.
All right, 3 for 3. You're getting me very excited. There's not very many bad things that we're saying about these guys. I mean, is there are we missing any skeletons? Is there something that's you know, going to rear its ugly head as far as the way that they play, the kind of guy that they are? It sounds like everything is all good and halos and just good things about these guys.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I think the Yankees really did their homework on this trade. So, you know, they made sure they knew who they were getting. They got really, really good guys. And I mean, again, I'm not a part of any of those conversations, but, I can only imagine that, you know, when the Indians really wanted Miller and the Yankees kind of had their list together and, you know, they started listing off guys like Frazier and Sheffield and Heller and FireEyes. And they're like, you know, I'm sure the Indians were cringing a little bit inside knowing that they were giving up a ton, but you know, like you said, at the outset, I mean, look, This is a guy the Indians felt in Miller that could take him over the top and really become one of the favorites in the American League and contend. And on the opposite side, they knew they had to give up a lot to get him. And you know, I really think the Yankees are going to get a lot. Selfishly, I was looking forward to seeing Justice Sheffield pitch in Akron next year. You know, from every report I've heard, he's got the size. He's got he looks like he's going to be a pretty good pitcher. And he's a lefty, so you know, you can't always add all those different things up, and so you know, on the downside, I guess I'll have to wait till the Trenton Thunder come to town to watch Justice Sheffield pitch. But you know, again, I think the Yankees really got a nice little haul here in the Miller deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you look just at the draft alone, where these guys were drafted. It's pretty impressive. You know, these guys definitely bring some serious talent. So I know we're all excited for it. And before I let you go, the nickname for Clint Frazier, do we have one yet? I saw a hashtag and I've heard some rumblings of a Red Thunder. Is that what what you guys have been calling him?
I can neither confirm nor deny. He's one of those guys that, you know, at least in the 4 months that I've had a chance to know him and to be around him, you know, he was always Clint Frazier to us, but that's just because everyone wanted to see Bradley Zimmer and Clint Frazier. I mean, those are the two names that people wanted to see. And, you know, maybe Red Thunder maybe that's something that catches on in New York. I'm not sure, but, you know, I'll tell you what, you got a great ball player and you got four great ball players, and, you know, I wish them the best of luck. I think they're going to do great in New York, and you know, and hopefully Miller pays dividends for the Indians this year. And you know, now that the Yankees have kind of started a fire sale, maybe, you know, we won't have competition against New York. It seems like every time the Indians get in the postseason, we always have to go against New York. So, you know, maybe this will be the Indians' year. It happened for the Cavs already, so we can only hope that. You know, that a World Series championship comes to Cleveland after since 1948.
Jim, we'll let you have it this year. This is the year you can have it. But when these guys are coming up in 17 and 18, I think you're going to have to watch out, because the Yankees are chock full of talent, and everybody knows the Yankees with chock full of talent do have some pockets with a little bit of scratch in there too to go get some other guys. So we'll be contending, I think, in a couple of years.
There's no doubt about it. You will, and you know, the Yankees do things the right way, and you know, I know they've got a lot of great fans, and they are, you know, a great organization, and you know, I can say that I've had a chance to work in that organization at the minor league level. I was with Charleston for 6 years, and
right.
And I'll tell you what, you know, they do things the right way, so you know, it'll be fun, and you know, the Yankees now I think have a nice farm system, and you know, they've always had good players and good talent coming through there, but now I think they definitely have a plus farm system, and then you have the chance of these guys, like you said, come to the big leagues in a couple of years. They're going to be pretty special.
Jim, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate all the insight on these guys, and best of luck this season.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the phone call, and I wish you guys the best as well.
Next on the show, we have Aaron Cox, who is the Director of Media Relations and Broadcasting and also the play-by-play guy for the Hickory Crawdads. Aaron, thanks so much for coming on.
No problem, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So I know you've seen a lot of the two guys that we got. We got three guys, obviously, in the Carlos Beltran deal. Dylan Tate and Swanson are the two guys that were with the Crawdads, and I guess those are the ones that we want to talk about the most. Nick Green has some ties to the Yankee organization just because he was drafted by the Yankees originally. Mm-hmm. Dylan Tate being the big guy, we all have heard the fact that he's a bit of a project at this point. What can you tell us about this guy?
Yeah, he's a little bit of a project just in the sense of, I think, where he's going to end up. I think there's some debate as to whether or not he'll end up as a starter or as a reliever. And, you know, there's pros and cons to both. So it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees go about it. He obviously was a very highly regarded guy coming out of UC Santa Barbara last year, first-round selection, fourth overall by the Rangers. We actually saw him last year. He joined us as a reliever, which is not uncommon for college pitchers being drafted, and pitched with us through our postseason run and was just lights out of the pen. You know, fastball up to 98, a really good slider already. And then when he was assigned to us this year, and everybody thought it would just be kind of an in-and-out move that, you know, he was so good he'd be out of here. But I guess it didn't play out that way. You know, he's had a few struggles in the rotation. His fastball, most notably, has just kind of been touch and go. When it's on, it's still a very good pitch. When he's a starter, it sits right around 93 to 95. It's got some good life to it. But when it was off for whatever reason, mechanical or otherwise, it would slow down and really flatten out, and that would lead to a lot of problems. So we'll see. I'm assuming the Yankees are going to want to, you know, keep him in the rotation as long as possible. But if not, you know, I think he could be a fast riser if he ends up in the bullpen.
Do you think a lot of this contributed to, you know, his struggles when he came back had to do with the hamstring injury? Because I've read that he did go through a hamstring injury and maybe didn't recover from that, or because of that, mechanics did change. And, you know, he's now just needs to get back to the basics feeling 100%.
Yeah, I don't think you can completely dismiss that. And obviously that sticks out as a very clear indicator, like a line of demarcation, if you will. It wasn't that bad of an injury. So I don't know at this point if there's lingering problems with it. But certainly, you know, that's something that even if you tweak your mechanics just a little bit because of that, that can have, you know, a domino effect on how things play out. And there's also a mental component about that. Sure. You know, if he is still mentally trying to overcome that, that could certainly be an issue. And he's a very smart guy. He's got a very good work ethic, and he's always wanting to. He takes instruction very well. So he had a lot of different guys, you know, trying to help him, trying to work on him, and was trying to work on a lot of different things at the same time. You know, we talked about the struggles with the fastball, but positive improvements this year. His secondary pitches have really noticeably gotten better. The slider was already good, as I mentioned, but the changeup has taken notable steps forward this year, and he's added a curveball as well that is already not a bad pitch. So potentially there, you know, the four-pitch repertoire for him, which certainly, you know, is something you'd want out of a starter. But, you know, the problem, again, with the fastball. So I think if he can figure that out, which he's shown flashes of it here over the last handful of starts he had with us, then all of a sudden he's right back on track, and you're talking about a guy who could be, you know, a top-of-the-rotation kind of guy.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, last year the Yankees would have had no shot at Dylan Tate. I mean, this is a guy that actually was on the top 10 board for the Yankees coming out of the draft as well. It was a guy that they were high on as well coming out of college. And, you know, to think that a Carlos Beltran, a 41-year-old aging veteran as a two-month rental would warrant a Dylan Tate that was, you know, top five, number four pick in the draft. I mean, the last time the Yankees had a top five draft was Brian Taylor. And I don't know if you know the story about Brian Taylor, but that was a long time ago. I mean, that was in the early 90s. So it's, you know, in the past 2 days with the trades that the Yankees have made, they've actually jumped up into the top five twice, which is unbelievable. So the Yankees are actually, the reports are that they are bringing him into Charleston, single A, and he's going to be put in the bullpen for now. and they're going to be slowly they're actually bringing in a separate tutor, a pitching coach, to work with him and fix him. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the plan at this point.
And that makes a lot of sense. You know, and you see sometimes guys just need a fresh set of eyes, a fresh set of ears, a perspective, just something new, not necessarily anything wrong with what was happening before. But a fresh start can do wonders for a guy. And I think that's not a bad idea at all. Just my personal opinion, there's no need to rack up a ton of innings, have him work on a few things, do things the Yankees way, the way the Yankees want things done. And then next year you can really hit the ground running.
Now, talking about Dylan Tate, the kid himself, did you see anything? I mean, obviously you come out highly touted, you're drafted in the top five. That's a big deal. Is there any semblance of, an arrogance or any type of, work ethic or things like that that are getting in the way? Or is this kid, one of the ones who really likes baseball, who's a baseball guy through and through and will mature into someone that's going to be, striving to be great?
I don't think there's any red flags personality-wise at all. Like I said, he's a very smart guy, a college guy, comes from a intellectual family, and work ethic was absolutely fine. And now, obviously, when you get these guys who are very high draft picks, there is a confidence level that comes with them.
Sure.
And some people can perceive that as being this or that, but in no way, in my opinion, is that a bad thing whatsoever. And in fact, to be a top five player, you have to have, a certain level of confidence. But he's been nothing but a good teammate here in Hickory. Like I said, he works hard. He's not a rah-rah kind of guy in the clubhouse, not bouncing all over the place, but certainly well-liked by his teammates and more of a lead-by-example type of player.
Well, that's good to hear, because you're right. There's a very big difference between confidence and arrogance, but I think a lot of people can't sometimes see that difference, especially on the field when there's a little bit of quote, the cliche swagger. I mean, these guys, they have to have a little bit of it to get to the point where they are, to be as good as they are, and, to prove and to show their confidence. It's important.
Oh, I completely agree. I think that's, if you want to be at the highest level, you got to believe you're that caliber of player, and if you're not, then you're not going to make it.
So, Dylan Tate, obviously, we know was the big guy, the big chip in this trade. The other two pitchers that were acquired, one being Eric Swanson, who was also spent some time with you. What can you tell us about Eric Swanson?
Well, Swanson is obviously, as far as the headlines on this, is going to be the second pitcher coming behind Dylan Tate. But I would not be surprised at all if he ends up in the Yankees' top 30 prospects next season. He's a guy drafted a couple of years ago by the Rangers out of community college in Iowa, and pitched as a reliever and kind of battled some injury issues as well. But this year was finally given a chance to start and really has blossomed into a heck of a pitcher. His fastball gained velocity coming out of the rotation as opposed to the bullpen, which, of course, normally the opposite happens.
Right.
But he's been sitting 95 to 97. It's a very heavy fastball. It's gotten as high as 99 on Scout's Gun. And that is his bread and butter pitch. When he's pitching well, he's got a very good feel for it. He can move it in and out, up and down, likes to elevate it to get strikeouts. He's got a developing changeup and a slider to go along with it as well. He's had a lot of success here. He's already way into a career high innings pitched. So his last few starts had some up and downs, but in the first half was an all-star with us, put up some great numbers, great strikeout totals. Another guy that I think still has a chance to stay in the rotation, but even worst case scenario with him, in my opinion, he's a guy that you stick in the bullpen, you let him just fire away. And if that's the case, I think you could see him moving up to New York pretty quick.
Yeah. So it seems like maybe there's a little bit of arm fatigue at this point, if he's hitting that innings limit. I know a lot of the young guys, they go start going through that in the second half when their arm's obviously not used to throwing that many bullets. The interesting thing you said actually to me was that one thing I haven't read was the fastball. It was a lot higher than reports. I mean, I've seen 93 to 94 is where he was. So you're saying he was 93, 94 in the bullpen, but now that he's in the rotation, he's actually throwing even higher, closer to the mid to high 90s?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we saw him. He was another guy who was also with us last year in a relief role down the stretch. And like I said, he wasn't 100% healthy, kind of had a few nagging things. But had a healthy offseason. They told him right out of the gate, we want you to be a starter, and he prepped for that. And like I said, his fastball has been a huge pitch for him this year. 95 to 97 pretty consistently.
Beautiful. That's good news. I like hearing that. Sounds like like he can progress through a rotation too. That's very good news. And I know you haven't seen much of Nick Green, but we'll just touch on him very quickly. I don't know if you've heard much about him through organizational chatter, but this is a guy who was drafted actually by the Yankees in 2013 and then went back out to community college trying to, you know, improve his draft stock. But this is another guy that Brian Cashman, the Yankees GM, is high on, that, you know, big arm, very similar to a guy, I think it sounds like a similar makeup to Eric Swanson. So we'll see. Hopefully he can come out and contribute as well.
Yeah, like you said, the Yankees obviously had their eye on him for a while. He ended up going to the Rangers a couple of years ago, like you said, out of community college. He'd been pitching down in short season Spokane this year. And another guy where you look at, you know, his ERA is a little bit high, just below 5, you know, but that it doesn't take much to get that blown out of proportion. The rest of his peripherals have been really good this year. 44 strikeouts in 34 innings, opponents only batting in the mid-200s against him. So another really strong arm, which the Yankees have kind of been acquiring now, and that's, as you know, it's a trend across baseball is, you know, the more hard throwers you can get, especially in the back end of your bullpen, the better. And the Yankees, even if this thing falls apart on them, then you've got three guys who are hard throwers, and I think you're still going to get some good relievers out of the deal. And in best case scenario, at least from my perspective, you're going to get a guy who can be, you know, solid starters in both Tate and Swanson at the big league level.
Well, that's good news. I know the Yankees have been definitely acquiring a lot of lower minor league arms, you know, trying to build them up and put through the system. The Yankees drafting and I guess even acquiring from some of these, you know, Dominican leagues, Venezuelan leagues at a very young age have not had the best success with pitchers. So let's hope the Texas Rangers were drafting better at that point and we could just lean on that.
Well, and you know, the more guys you get, obviously, the higher chance you've got of some of these guys panning out. You know, minor leagues can be such a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Even guys that seem like surefire picks don't pan out, and then guys who were in the, you know, the 30th round end up being all-stars at the major league level. And so with the Yankee system now, with all the picks they've acquired or all the former high draft picks, and then the quality picks they've been making as well over the last few years, got such a deep system now. And that's really how you solidify that you've got so many backup options that some of these guys are sure to pan out.
We call it the Scranton shuttle. I think some Eric Swanson and Nick Green maybe in the next year or two will be heading, getting their ticket on the Scranton shuttle, going back and forth. So, Aaron,
yeah,
I appreciate you taking the time out and giving us some background information on these guys, and definitely wish you the best of luck this season.
No, I appreciate it. I think you guys got some good pitchers here. We're wishing them the best of luck.
And there you have it. Obviously, there is a ton to be excited about with these new guys coming in. So whatever happens for the rest of the season, just remember what is in the farm system. Just remember and root for the new guys coming up, because they're going to be getting some valuable, valuable playing time. This is an exciting time to be a Yankee fan. We'll talk to you guys next week. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.